Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, laco.org. Question number one. Before his opera career took off, Luciano Pavarotti supported himself and paid for his vocal lessons by doing what? Was it A, selling insurance, B, waiting tables in a restaurant, C, driving a taxi, or D, playing the tuba in a circus band? Luciano Pavarotti, what did he do before becoming a famous opera singer? Question number two, while break a leg is one common way of wishing a singer good luck before a performance, in Spanish and Portuguese-speaking countries, the popular phrase translated here into English is what? Is it A, lots of manure? Is it B, bump your head? Is it C, toss your cookies? Or is it D, don't choke? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com. And today, quote-unquote, is the 11th of September. Well, it was on this very day back in 1847 that Stephen Foster's song, O Susanna, was performed in public for the very first time by a local quintet in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. 1847. Today. And it was 36 years ago today, 1984, that Bruce Springsteen broke the attendance record at Philadelphia's Spectrum. 16,800 fans attended the first of six sold-out shows. That was 1984 today. So even as it shifts online this fall, annual Bluegrass Festival retains its Raleigh roots. This is written by Stacy Chandler in the News and Observer on the 4th of September, 2020. While the International Bluegrass Music Association's annual gathering won't span the length of Fayetteville Street in Raleigh and fill Red Hat Amphitheater and downtown hotels this year, Raleigh will still play a major role as the event shifts online. The Friday and Saturday Street Festival, renamed this year to IBMA Bluegrass Live, will feature free online programming October 2nd through 3rd, the same dates it had been scheduled to take place before coronavirus precautions wiped large in-person gatherings off the calendar. Last year's World of Bluegrass, the event that includes the Street Festival as well as the Music Association's Business Conference, Award Show, and Industry Showcases, attracted more than 218,000 people, according to Visit Raleigh. This week, IBMA announced the initial list of performers who will play sets on video as part of the virtual Bluegrass Live. It includes several North Carolina acts, including Steep Canyon Rangers, Chatham County Line, Chatham Rabbits, the Kruger Brothers, and Tommy Edwards with Andrew Marlin, Mandolin Orange. Many of those bands are filming their bluegrass live performances in front of local landmarks like Union Station, the rooftop at the Dillon, and World of Bluegrass's home base for the past 7 years, the Raleigh Convention Center. Performing from their own home bases outside of North Carolina will be the Traveling McCurries with Del McCurry, Jerry Douglas and Odessa Settles, and performing together, Molly Tuttle and Sierra Hull, Lindsay Liu, Phoebe Hunt, and Mimi Naja will be performing a set of songs by bluegrass women and members of jam bands, Yonder Mountain String Band, Leftover Salmon, and the infamous String Dusters will come together for a set as Mountains of Infamous Leftovers. More performers and a detailed schedule will be announced in the coming weeks on social media and at worldofbluegrass, that's one word, .org. The performances will be aired free on the virtual event platform Swapcard, as well as via weblists and apps for WRAL and local roots music radio station, That Station. IBMA Bluegrass Live is produced by Raleigh-based traditional music nonprofit Pinecone, and PNC Bank is the event's presenting sponsor. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled Virtual Art Exhibition. This is published in Crescendo, WCPE, the classical station's newsletter, on the 1st of September, 2020. We have received hundreds of comments over the past several months about how our great classical music has calmed and inspired you. We hear you. And we are excited to announce the Classical Station's Virtual Art Exhibition. You may be familiar with Pictures at an Exhibition, the orchestral suite by Modest Mussorgsky, inspired by paintings of Victor Hartmann. We are doing the reverse. Submissions might include a drawing of oranges inspired by Frederick Delius's Florida Suite, or a swan painted while listening to The Carnival of the Animals by Camille Saint-Saëns. Choose whatever works for you. Submit your original works of visual art for consideration to be included in our display, which we will unveil in November. Listeners are encouraged to submit original photographs, paintings, and drawings through the month of October 2020. Selected pieces may be exhibited on the Classical Station's printed publications, website, and or social media outlets during the show. We encourage you to send in your original artwork, electronically, but we'll accept submissions by mail. Send electronic files, JPG only, to artwork@theclassicalstation.org. If you prefer to send your artwork in mail, please send to WCPE, the Classical Station, P.O. Box 828, Wake Forest, North Carolina, 27588. Attention, Virtual Art Exhibition. Submissions will be accepted until October 31, 2020. And in jazz and theater news, we have this article entitled Sleepless, What Is It Like Going Back to the Theater? This is published in BBC.com by Stephen McIntosh on the 3rd of September, 2020. Sleepless is the first and so far only indoor theater show with a full cast to have been staged since the coronavirus outbreak. The industry has dipped its toe in the water recently with the return of open-air shows. This theater normally has a capacity of 1,300, but that has been reduced to 400 to allow for social distancing between audience members. The safety measures aren't just front of house. Backstage, the members of the live orchestra are socially distanced and separated by screens. Sleepless broadly follows the plot of the 1993 film it is based on, Sleepless in Seattle, which starred Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. It's a storyline that is perfectly appropriate for the current climate. The premise of the show lends itself to the era of social distancing. With a pair of lovers who seldom occupy the same physical space, yet there's also nostalgic joy in simply attending an actual, fully-fledged musical in a theater with other people. Bliss. This feel-good Sleepless does offer sweet dreams. There is something mad and brilliant about turning an American classical film into a musical in a big shed in Wembley in the middle of a pandemic. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled Music, Emotion, and Well-Being. How does music affect the way we think, feel, and behave? This article was published in Psychology Today on the 25th of August 2019 by Dr. Shahram Meshmat. One of the most important issues in the psychology of music is how music affects emotional experience. Music has the ability to evoke powerful emotional responses such as chills and thrills in listeners. Positive emotions dominate musical experiences. Pleasurable music may lead to the release of neurotransmitters associated with rewards such as dopamine. Listening to music is an easy way to alter mood or relieve stress. People use music in their everyday lives to regulate, enhance, and diminish undesirable emotional states, such as stress or fatigue. So how does music listening introduce emotions and pleasure in listeners? Number one, musical pleasure. The enjoyment of music appears to involve the same pleasure center of the brain as other forms of pleasure, such as food, sex, and drugs. Evidence shows that an aesthetic stimulus, such as music, can naturally target the dopamine systems of the brain that are typically involved in highly reinforcing and addictive behaviors. Number two, musical anticipation. Music can be experienced as pleasurable both when it fulfills and violates expectations. The more unexpected the events in music, the more surprising is the musical experience. We appreciate music that is less predictable and slightly more complex. Number three, refined emotions. There is also an intellectual component to the appreciation for music. The dopamine systems do not work in isolation, and their influence will be largely dependent on their interaction with other regions of the brain. Number four, memories. Memories are one of the important ways in which musical events evoke emotions. As the late physician Oliver Sacks has noted, musical emotions and musical memory can survive long after other forms of memory have disappeared. Part of the durable reason for power of music appears to be that listening to music engages many parts of the brain, triggering connections and creating associations. Number five, action tendency. Music often creates strong action tendencies to move in coordination to the music, such as dancing or foot tapping. Our internal rhythms, such as heart rate, speed up or slow down to become one with the music. We float and move with the music. Number six, emotional memory or mimicry. Music doesn't only evoke emotions at the individual level, but also at the interpersonal and intergroup levels. Listeners mirror their reactions to what the music expresses. such as sadness from sad music or cheer from happy music. Similarly, ambient music affects shoppers' and diners' moods. Number 7, consumer behavior. Background music has a surprisingly strong influence on consumer behavior. For example, one study exposed customers to a supermarket drinks section to either French music or German music. The results showed that French wine outsold German wine when French music was played, whereas German wine outsold French wine when German music was played. Number 8, mood regulation. People crave escapism during uncertain times to avoid their woes and troubles. Music offers a resource for emotion regulation. People use music to achieve various goals, such as to energize, maintain focus on a task, and reduce boredom. For instance, sad music enables the listener to disengage from the distressing situations, such as breakups or death, and focus instead on the beauty of the music. Further, lyrics that resonate with the listener's personal experience can give voice to feelings or experiences that one might not be able to express oneself. And number 9, time perception. Music is a powerful emotional stimulus that changes our relationship with time. Time does indeed seem to fly when listening to pleasant music. Music is therefore used in waiting rooms to reduce the subjective duration of time spent waiting, and in supermarkets to encourage people to stay for longer and buy more. Hearing pleasant music seems to divert attention away from time processing. And finally, number 10, identity development. Music can be a powerful tool for identity development. Young people derive a sense of identity from music.
I was on the mend when I fell through. The sky around was anything but blue. I found desire, regained my feet, a wound across my memory that no amount of stitches would repair. But I awoke, and you were standing there.
The Avett Brothers, February 7, introduces our rock and pop music news. It's a review of the Avett Brothers' drive-in show at the Speedway. Was a big gamble. Did it pay off? And this is written by Theoden Janes on the 31st of August, 2020, in the News and Observer. Any fan of the Avett Brothers knows the guys don't have to travel very far to get to Charlotte Motor Speedway in Concord on Saturday night because, well, any fan of the Avetts know that they live just a few miles up the road. Perhaps to underscore this point, although more likely just because it was apropos, given one, the automobile-focused setting, and number two, the fact that this was a drive-in-style concert, the show opened with the venue's giant video board displaying a live drone shot of the band literally driving to the show. As seen on the screen, Seth Avett, Scott Avett, upright bass player Bob Crawford, and cellist Joe Kwan are piled into Seth's 1965 Ford Galaxy in Victory Lane, and Seth eased the car out onto the oval before proceeding to hit the gas through turns 1 and 2. He then glided into a spot in the middle of the backstretch where the foursome got out, removed their masks, and ascended the stairs to the stage. It was an endearing gimmick to kick off an event that was more than a bit of a gamble, one of the largest public gatherings in the Charlotte area since the start of the pandemic, and easily the most significant exhibition of live music in these parts in 6 months. Did it feel normal? Hardly. Social distancing certainly did dilute some of the energy that you'd feel at a traditional concert in a traditional venue. But But if this is how it's going to have to be, at least for the time being, I can't imagine drive-in concert going gets much better than this. Sure, a little of it was luck. Ideally, at an outdoor concert, you don't want to notice the weather other than to say, wow, it's a perfect night. And it was indeed a perfect evening weather-wise Saturday. A lot of it, though, was just plain solid execution on everybody's part. Everybody includes the event staff at the Speedway, which was a model of efficiency upon entry, upon exit, and in communicating guidelines to fans in the more than 1,500 vehicles. It also includes the fans themselves, who paid $100 to $300 per carload and were models of following those guidelines and who didn't transform into wild animals when it was time to navigate towards the exits. And most importantly, it includes the Avid Brothers. If any rust has formed on the band since its last major live performance on a beach in the Dominican Republic on March the 1st, it didn't show. In fact, over the course of 2 hours and 26 songs, the Avids seemed to have even more passion and delight than usual as they played a set that represented every segment of their oeuvre. Songwriting has always been one of the Avids' key strengths. As a result, the drive-in format accentuated it nicely by bringing the sound directly into your personal space. The Speedway didn't pipe the audio from the show through its PA system, and the band didn't set up speakers near the stage specifically to encourage people to stay with their vehicles. If this is what the future of concert going looks like, so much better. For one night, in the middle of the summer of 2020, in the middle of what I hope is the worst year we ever have to collectively experience in our lifetimes, we, as fans of live music, and particularly as fans of the Avid Brothers, were gifted with 2 hours that came closer to making us feel like things were right with the world than we felt in months. We're not there yet, but hopefully we're on the way. And in local music news, we have this article published in CBSNews.com by Nora O'Donnell, August 28, 2020, as shown on Sunday morning CBS program on 8:30:20. Man recreates wife's favorite anniversary gift after suffering strokes. Joe and Sharon Korst of Raleigh, North Carolina, just celebrated 63 years of wedded bliss. To mark the milestone, Joe gave his bride one of the best anniversary presents ever. To fully appreciate the gift, you first need to hear their song. It's a Kenny Rogers tune called Beautiful All That You Could Be. And for years, Joe sang it to Sharon on birthdays, anniversaries, and so many other occasions. Eventually, friends and family memorized it too. She's the number one thing in his life, said their daughter. And singing that song was the way to say it. But Joe recently suffered two strokes, which left him at a terrible loss for language. I have trouble calling my wife's name or the children's name, Joe said. So you lost the song? CBS News asked. Yeah, Joe said. So I just accepted it and didn't really think about it till this past anniversary, Sharon said. And then he started singing it. Most unbeknownst to Sharon, Joe had been working hard to rescue their song. When a line came back to him in the hospital, he jotted it in a notebook and listened to the melody on a loop. I wanted to relearn it and give it to my wife, he said. Just like he always did, Sharon said. Of all the things that he could have done, that was probably the most meaningful, she added. The best anniversary present ever. The same anniversary present. As always. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, before his opera career took off, Luciano Pavarotti supported himself and paid for his vocal lessons by doing what? Was it A, selling insurance, B, waiting tables in a restaurant, C, driving a taxi, or D, playing the tuba in a circus band? Correct answer? Answer A, Luciano Pavarotti sold insurance to support himself and pay for his vocal lessons before becoming famous as an opera singer. By the way, speaking of singers, it turns out that vocal coach Richard Fink IV set the Guinness World Record for longest continual vocal note when he sang a B-flat for 103 seconds in 2009. And the answer to our second question, while break a leg is one common way of wishing a singer good luck before a performance, in Spanish and Portuguese-speaking country, the popular phrase, translated here into English, is what? Is it A, lots of manure? Is it B, bump your head? Is it C, toss your cookies? Or is it D, don't choke? Correct answer? Answer A. The phrase, mucha mierda, which translates to lots of manure, is what you say when wishing a singer good luck prior to performing in Spanish and Portuguese-speaking countries. The phrase can be traced back to the days when audiences arrived at the theater in carriages. Seeing lots of doo-doo in front of the theater would be a good sign because it indicated a packed house. So let's close out today's program with Chris Botti playing the aria Pavarotti popularized beyond the opera world with his singing at the 1990 World Cup, Nessun Dorma. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is the language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me. Randy Thompson at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.